Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Thursday edition. The, man, the bye week is flying by edition. The Tim Van Voren? Not scheduled to appear, but we're going to hear from him? I love TVV. We should get him on the show once in a while. Edition. Speaking of someone we get on the show once in a while, and we're always really excited when we get him, scheduled to appear. And Jesse billing him as a Ford C. Frick Award finalist. It's our buddy Brian Anderson scheduled to appear. Edition. And the... Could the Packers keep Romeo Doubs? Interesting nugget, couched though it may have been, from Jeremy Fowler that caught my attention.
They call him the big broacher.
I love it when you call me Big Coucher. I do a radio show with Mark Tauscher. Edition of Wilde and Tausch.
If we were singing that song before all these breaks, maybe we'd still be on Spotify.
We got to get that fixed. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app. Your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course,
Spotify.
Everything you need. And the all new, all redesigned, all free, all customizable. You know, I want to be clear on this. We're joking around.
No,
it's gallows humor.
No. I want to make sure I'm clear on this. I'm very frustrated.
Yes,
if
so
we,
am
if
I.
We weren't
like
laughing,
McCarthy,
we would cry.
Frustrated.
Very, very frustrating.
Thank you, Jesse.
Good work, Jesse. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And correct me if I'm wrong, for the second consecutive day.
What the heck are you doing here?
What are you doing
here? What do you
mean,
what am I doing here? You guys, I'm not gonna go down.
Oh, like it's normal for you to be in the studio 2 days in a row.
Back to back days. Exactly.
Where are the crazy ones?
It's a fair question.
I'll tell you what, ever since Ashton has taken over, I'm coming in a lot more. Did you notice that? I feel more love. I feel more welcomed.
No.
I'm here, baby. Of course I'm in studio, baby. Let's go. I can't tell because there's nothing set up. There's no show.
Because nobody was expecting you, even though you're in the studio a lot more nowadays. Seriously, what's going on? You got something big going on? You got something cooking?
Yeah, maybe I got a little something cooking. Sure.
You're not going to tell us about it.
No. Well, it's nothing that you're going to care about. And I'm not, unlike Jesse, I'm not going to go into a 20-minute soliloquy on a vacation that seems like YouTube couldn't stand listening to. No offense.
None taken. They definitely did not enjoy.
Little taken.
Welcome to the show. Great to have you. We have Brian Anderson scheduled to appear. How closely?
Oh, nice job, Jell.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, BA is the man. He still works for TNT, right? He will no longer do NBA.
That is my understanding.
They don't have NBA.
Right.
Well, I understand, but Reggie Miller left. He went to wherever.
Yeah, he didn't.
Which I'm still amazed.
BA didn't leave.
People must love Reggie.
BA is
not on this program.
BA is number one on the MLB on TBS crew, so he's doing the Phillies Dodgers series.
Another slight to the Brewers
and the NLCS. He'll be on the call for
that'd
TBS.
Be Brew Crew Dodgers
could be.
Yes, let's go.
He also does tennis.
Yeah, that's awesome. By the way, yeah, he's a jack of all trades.
He will join us at 9:30. In the interim.
What?
No. I mean, I can't see you, so I can't talk, but...
Why can't you see me?
Because I didn't tell Jesse that I was coming in. That's on me. Hey, Jell. No. That's on me. Romeo Doubs. I saw this little brooch. I'm assuming that's what you were thinking about. There you are, Jell. Look at this guy. What a hero. Look at him. There's no cameras on, so you're not up.
There are.
Oh, there is. I still don't... do you really think that they're going to re-sign Romeo?
All right, so I would like to... I'm going to say this for both Michael in the YouTube comments and for everyone else. I am not anti-Romeo Doubs in any way. I also, as Ted Lasso says, which is my favorite television show, I would hope that either none of us... or all of us are judged by our worst moments. Unfortunately, in the National Football League, whether it's right or wrong, whether it's unfair or not, that the stuff that happened literally a year ago, I wrote about it at channel3000.com today, like it was after the fourth game. In fact, today is Thursday. It was the Thursday of game week going into the Rams game when he not only didn't show up for work, but didn't tell anyone. Like, didn't even say, hey, I'm not coming in because this...
Like me coming into studio. I didn't tell anyone.
Well, yeah, but the opposite. You came to work. But, like, he didn't even tell anyone, I'm not coming in. I'm pissed off about my role or whatever it is. And again, I do... Please, I don't make light of people if they have a mental health episode. Okay? No one knew, and they were worried. They sent team officials to his home to do essentially a wellness check. And he answered the door and told them, yeah, I'm not coming to work. I don't like the game plan or whatever he did.
Yep.
So it was week five of last season. And Matt LaFleur earlier this week called it a blip. That's how he described what happened last year. So maybe the feeling in the building is softening. But I can... Again, I wish people would trust us when we say stuff because we do talk to people. And then while it may sound opinion-y, that is based on things that you are told or I am told that form that opinion. And I can tell you that someone that works in the building said that this season he needed to put his head down and work his tail off and he could earn a really good contract from someone else. So if that and that doesn't mean that things can't change.
If yous can change, wees can change, results can
everybody's
change.
Can change, exactly. Yep. But that was where their mentality was on him. Between the concussions, he had two of them last season. He's wearing the Guardian cap. And with the episode going into the Rams game, the feeling in the building was we're going to keep him. We would love for him to have a big season, and then we'll take the compensatory pick when he signs somewhere else because we're not going to re-sign him. Now, I don't know if that Matt attitude has changed. Matt LaFleur's comment publicly would sound like they're...
A little shift.
Very happy.
A little shift.
And maybe they're going to give him a second chance. But again, it's not an issue of whether or not it's fair or unfair. It is how the Packers perceived what happened last year.
Jim Huber, my old O-line coach, used to always tell me, perception becomes reality unless you do something about it. And the Romeo Doubs scenario here is, if you'd have asked me that following week when he returned after missing the game, being suspended, right? He was suspended for that game, correct?
Yes. Conduct detrimental to the team.
So... And again, I've never, ever, never seen that. It's not. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I could go throw this up on ChatGPT, whatever.
Jair Alexander had one the year earlier.
But I mean, skipping practices and just because they're not from an injury or anything else. This is just a I'm not happy. I'm not going to come. Maybe obviously Jair did the whole captaincy bit and he was injured, and so mm-hmm. I don't know if those are apples and apples. But
sure.
Never. I just have never seen it. And it's obviously not a positive, but I think it is fair for you to reference Ted Lasso, even though I've never seen the show. Nobody wants to be judged on like the worst thing that they've done, but there are cases. Like, I'm not going to even equate it. I was going to go down a road. It's not fair.
So I get you. I understand.
So I'm not going to, but mm-hmm. we can all see there's people that did a lot of really good things, and then they did something just abhorrent. Unfortunately, or fortunately, that's the way this thing goes. This is not death. This is not murder. This isn't something criminal. It is criminal in a locker room for that to happen. But he has bounced back. And what I think is going to happen here, Romeo will have to figure out, do I want to take a far less valued contract, market rate contract, to stay in Green Bay? Or do I want to roll the dice and think that I can be... Because Green Bay, I will be shocked if they pay him number one money. I could see them paying them number two money and hoping to get number one production out of it. That is going to be the line that this is going to go down. And I don't know where Romeo's head's at on that, but I would bet Green Bay has seen... Romeo has been a good soldier this season. Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong. You're up in the locker room. You talk to teammates. He's been incredibly productive. And by the way, we all thought that somebody's going to emerge. Well, he has been the emerged guy. Christian Watson's going to get back. I'm fairly confident he's going to beat my Halloween prediction. He's going to more than likely start practicing. They'll try ramping him up in the next couple weeks. And I think he's got a really good shot of playing maybe in the Pittsburgh game or a week after in that ballpark that I made the bold prediction. And then we'll see how that goes. There are so many variables in this receiving core. Injury to Watson. Injury to Reed. Who's been steady Eddie? Who's been the steadiest of the Eddiest of this group? And yeah. The answer is not even close. It's Romeo.
Tucker Kraft.
But Romeo, like to think that Green Bay is just not going to put that in the old vault, they will be happy to have him on this team, but it is going to be on their terms. It is not going to be on Romeo's terms. And that is what's going to be the interesting piece to figure out who's going to win that. Will Green Bay budge a little bit and give more than they want? I think that depends on how the rest of this season is going. But is there any world that you live in that you think he's going to get – what is a second wideout? A really good second wideout's about $27 million. I saw that they compared the dude with the Bills that just signed a big deal. That's kind of the parameters. I could see them maybe going there, but they're not going any higher. Mm-hmm. And if they do, I'll be shocked.
So I did something I rarely do with you guys.
Research?
Could you not besmirch me,
please? That's what you were going to say.
I sent you an email.
He watched all that Nate Hobbs film.
Oh, it's true.
Especially that Arizona game. I did have baseball on while I was writing last night, which I was going to talk about that.
Oh, that Red Sox-Yankees game was fire.
Some good games across the board yesterday.
Fire.
So buried in the Dan Graziano, Jeremy Fowler notebook on ESPN.com, Romeo Doubs has emerged as the Packers' number one receiving option in a contract year. The trade rumors surrounding Doubs, this is from Fowler, who has four touchdowns through four games. Was I being played off the stage? Oh, okay. It's just the background music.
Yeah, whenever you're reading on the radio, I play our special music.
Trade rumors surrounding Doubs never made much sense.
I agree.
Compensatory.
You made a bold prediction. That was your bold pick.
Right, because I didn't think it was likely. I thought, but maybe somehow it happens.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. But you could put that. Who's our Jamie in Orlando?
No, Eric in Green Bay.
You can pretty much put this one down. Did you see Jamie in Orlando when you were down there?
I did not, no.
That's a shame.
They went to Epcot together. Tell us more about your vacation. You two would love to hear about it. But the Packers have shown no interest in trading him, and my sense is...
Spidey sense.
That they have more interest in potentially extending him. The sides have had cursory talks, keeping in contact about the future. You've been an NFL player. Cursory talks, what are those worth?
Well, they're interesting. I think it lets you know that there's a little interest.
Open to the idea, right?
Yep.
We're not closing the door.
Correct, yep.
Dobbs staying in Green Bay behind 2025 is at least a possibility.
Well, that's not really broachy.
But getting a bargain deal for an emerging receiver without a 1,000-yard season, which, by the way, as Gabe pointed out this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, he's on pace for a 721-yard season.
Yeah, he's not had a ton of big plays, but he's had a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah, 3-1 game.
Last week. Strong hands. Buffalo's, strong-handed guy.
Think Buffalo's four-year, $53 million pact with Khalil Shakir.
What is that per year? Four for 53.
That is about...
17?
No.
Like 13?
What are you laughing at? I'm trying to throw it together quick. Why don't you help instead of demean?
Because because I was about to say very about demeaning. 13 million, and you jumped in and said 17. That's why I was laughing.
Three times 17 is 51 from my old dart playing days.
Right, and this is 4 years at 53 million,
so
you
less
were
than
high.
17. Yep.
Never went for the 13s, huh?
Nah, I was always 17. I was a big triple 17 thrower. Love that bottom right.
Bing, I like the bing. 20s right above front and center.
It's not bad, but you can miss and go to a one. That's the problem.
Barbecue sauce. Dobbs is building a case as a number one free agent option.
Mm.
Mike Evans, Jacoby Myers, and Jawan Jennings are in the class but aren't entering their second contract like Dobbs, who is 25. Youth always pays.
Yeah.
So, again,
all right,
I'm not
so here's the scenario
for anything there.
Let me ask you. So these are your choices.
Yeah.
You sign Dobbs to the dude from Buffalo's contract, which 13 a year, you do that. You do that 100 times out of 100 if you're the Packers.
Uh-huh.
You wait, let him go, and you get a third-round compensatory pick because he gets a big-boy contract. Okay? Or you pay him market rate and keep him. Which way is Green Bay? What way are fans going to lean? Those are your three options.
Yeah, you just drafted two wide receivers. You have decisions to make with another year to do it. Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks.
And you got Watson signed up for another year.
And you've bought yourself a year with Watson. I think they probably still let him walk.
Even if it's the, what's the dude's name from Buffalo?
Shakir.
If Romeo will sign.
If they get him for that,
you take
no
it.
Doubt. I think you take him.
All right,
you
so
keep him.
Let's put that up, Jess.
But does Romeo is looking at that going, I can do better than
he this. Shouldn't do that. No, I would think that he would want to. He should be in the mid-20s. If he continues on this path and has a really good season, I don't think anyone's going to pay him top dollar, $30 million plus, but I think he could get in the mid-20s from somebody. It's there's always that young player, but you mentioned in the beginning, and I know there's people that are, oh, forget about it, all this. It's just that's not the reality. That is going to be used against him, period, Finn. It's not fair. Is it fair? It's up to you all to decide. I understand why people do, because past performance and past behavior a lot of times leads to future behavior. That's the reality of the world, and it's not always fair. Guess what? Life ain't fair.
Good.
I think Packer fans want him. I think Packer fans want to keep Romeo Dobbs. I think you and I are of the belief, and I'm not going to speak for you. You've spoken well for yourself.
Thanks.
I just don't think Green Bay is going to pay the rate that he should get from somebody.
But if you can get him at a steeply discounted rate, that changes your math on that.
Everybody. If they get him for under 20 a year, I think you sign him. Anything over, I think you have to really hem and haw about it.
Yeah, I totally agree. What you don't have to hem and haw
about. Just from a dart standpoint, let's just do a three-year $51 million deal. 17, triple 17.
Triple 17.
From a dart standpoint.
Devontae, triple 17, baby. Yeah, cricket, 301, 501. It's a great throw. Bing.
Bing. Do you like playing the count up or count down? Or
what is it called when
way?
What is it called when you hit the three triples? Like there, it's you obviously get the bullseyes. There's something that you call it if you get the three. Bing, 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 bing. You hit the triple 20s. Bing, bing, bing. There's some term for it.
Like there's the immaculate inning where you throw three strikeouts on nine pitches in baseball. Is it like that? The immaculate round?
No, it's darts. It's not baseball. Thought I was pretty clear about
trying
that.
To help.
I know. Never mind. I appreciate it. Well, when it comes to your home, the smart play is trusting Gina Della and the great team at Pella Windows and Doors. And this month only, you can score a whole house. You can get a triple bullseye, triple 20, triple 17, whatever that full house of new energy efficient Pella windows. And you can do it for as low as $297 a month. Let's divide that by three and see what it looks like. With no interest for up to 60 months. That, I know, is a big old goose egg. That's a zero piece. That's like a drive you can sustain for years, keeping your home comfortable. All thanks to the incredible defense played by Pella Windows, stopping all of those drafts from coming in and or going out. Don't wait. Schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com.
According to the Dart Brokers, the things that I end up looking up, If I ever get in any trouble and people are checking my Google search history, they're going to be very
trust
confused.
Me, they are, and they will.
An RO9, round of nine, is three perfect darts of any three triples in one round.
Row.
Row nine. A ton 80. A ton is whenever you have 100 or more points in a single round. And then the 80 would be three triple 20s, which gets you the maximum number of points you can have in a round of 100.
Isn't it? What other sport has something everybody knows and it's not even the best throw? Like a bullseye is supposedly the best throw, but it's not. Like
you're
it's
right.
50 piece.
You're
a
right.
A triple 20 is 60, and nobody's like, oh, boy, you hit the bullseye on that. No, actually, you didn't. You hit a 60.
You didn't max out, yeah.
Like, what are we doing with that? Like, who is the dart tee? Did it used to be that there were no triples? The old dartboard just was a single bullseye and no triple doubles? Or was the original dartboard like it is right now?
I will do some research on that. I would like to get brought.
But what? I mean, you hit a home run. Oh, that's great, but a base hit is better. That's what this is. Like, in all honesty, that's what it is.
Darts originated in medieval England around the 14th century as a military pastime.
I would have loved that era. You walk into the saloon, the doors swing.
That's the Old West.
No, I know, but the medieval era, and you go in and you throw darts and you suck on a pint. Like, what? That, to me, is a pretty good life, isn't it?
How did you just combine the Old West and the 14th century?
How do you guys know there weren't swinging doors in the medieval era?
King Henry and the Wild Frontier.
No, do you have any clue what happened in the medieval era other than people were in fencing and in, like, metal and like tin deals?
Knights.
Like, what else do you guys know about the medieval era? You didn't know they threw darts? Did you think they threw darts in the medieval era? Did you?
I know
that
we
really uncomfortable throwing them in all that metal.
They don't have to be in their knights, armor throwing darts.
You don't know what's going on. You don't think people fought in bars after dart matches?
I don't think you know anything about the medieval era.
I knew that they threw darts. I found out they threw darts. You guys didn't know that.
Brian Anderson is due up at 9:30. We cannot afford to get sidetracked in the next segment. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
I'd like to get to Brian Anderson on time.
Good luck.
We're already not.
Yeah, we have no chance to get him on time.
So, Tausch, if you could tell us about Coors Light and pronounce the word medieval a couple of times for the folks in the YouTube comments.
I bet
that would be great.
I bet when you're throwing darts back into medieval times and you're got all that copper and tin and all the stuff you're wearing, you know it would taste great after a long, hard joust. a cold Coors Light brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it is made to chill. Get all that body armor off. Sit back, kick your heels up, let those swinging doors kick in, and crack yourself that cold Coors Light with the blue. Make sure the mountains are blue. It's hot back there in the medieval times. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
I love a good Coors Light sitting by my moat.
After a long, hard joust.
Oh, you know, those fellas worked hard back then.
Brian Anderson wades into this pool of radio programming. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
God, I love this song. But I might love this guy more. Not only is he one of the all-time great play-by-play voices, he's also one of the all-time great humans. And he has been being pestered by Jesse for months to come on the show.
Yeah, way to go, Jesse.
And his schedule has not allowed for it, or finally he just caved to the annoyance of Jesse constantly bothering.
Either way, it's a win for me.
It's a W for us, absolutely.
Hopefully he has not put us under the same category that Jeff Passan put certain shows. Do not answer or ignore on his phone. It is the great Brian Anderson on Wilde and Tausch. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good morning, guys. I'm doing great. I'm actually here at American Family Field. I'm sitting in the parking lot, and I'm watching the hustle and the bustle that's going on. I'm not on this series. I'm on the Philly series, Philly Dodger series. But I can tell you, all of our TBS trucks are being loaded in right now. What a scene it is in the South Dock. And by the way, does Jesse, do you guys let him speak on the radio?
Yes.
More than they
rarely.
Should.
Yeah, probably.
I feel like Jesse probably needs to do a confessional here, because I was more than willing and ready to come on your show on multiple occasions and then got bumped off the program.
What?
Yeah, Jesse bumped.
That did happen.
Jesse bumped Brian Anderson.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
I just want to clear the record about my schedule and me fitting you in and all that.
I can tell you the exact date that BA was originally.
I'm guessing it was Micah Parsons related.
It was
the
Friday after the Micah Parsons trade. We were scheduled to have Brian join us.
Brian, what did you think of the Micah Parsons trade? Did you think that moved Green Bay up into the next tier? You're a jack of all trades, sports wise.
Well, you know, I did do the NFL for 2 years, and that's probably the last NFL game I'll ever do. But no, I had no opinion, and Jesse let me down easy. He was very, very politically correct in his, like, hey, no thanks, we don't need you anymore, so beat it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's good. How is Micah Parsons doing? I don't know. I haven't watched the Packers game yet.
He's been dynamite. He's been as good as advertised.
Okay. More importantly, Brian fits right in on this show. I have no opinion on that. I do that every day on this show.
Yeah, I'm not exactly your best source for Green Bay Packers news. I don't think I could name like five players on the Packers. Is Mason Crosby still kicking?
He's not. No, he's competing with us nowadays. So we love him.
I
am curious.
He's my
hometown
guy. I was there for his Hall of Fame induction.
I know.
Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame.
And by the way, I know we're going to talk Brewers and we're excited to have you, but the fact that you took on tennis on your already burgeoning resume, I feel like Tausch has so much love and passion about tennis that if we wanted to, we could turn this into Tausch's tennis.
Quick
10
question
minutes.
For BA, because we'll do a quick tennis minute before we get to the Brewers. Is it possible?
We should make that a segment. Sponsor it.
Love it.
Brought to you by
Babolat. Babolat, whatever that tennis.
Babolat.
There you go. Babolat.
I'm a Wilson man myself, but Babolat.
Okay, I'm trying to think of another racket quick. I can't off the top
of my head. Chess is the only sport where the uniform is what you would wear under your clothes in any other sport. You're actually out there in your underwear.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Tausch Tennis Minute.
B.A., is it possible? We just had the greatest generation with Joker and Rafa and Fed. Is it possible? Yeah. We all thought there was going to be a lull. Is it possible? And I heard Johnny Mack say that these guys might even be better. Sinner and Alcaraz. Is it possible yeah. that could be the case?
Yeah. No, I think it's happening. It's now. It's not even speculation anymore. And the way Johnny Mack puts it, and Jim Courier, and you know, guys like more contemporary players that I worked with at Roland Garros, like Chris Eubanks and Sam Querrey, the things that these guys say is really what got my attention, because Alcaraz and Sinner to some extent, but really Alcaraz, was able to pull from those three, or those three you mentioned, the big three, and even add Andy Murray in that, so the big four, they all did something a little different. You know, everybody had their own little different strength that they made them special, and now Alcaraz kind of does all of those things, and it's really just up to him to choose what he wants to do in a particular match. I think we're there. It went from the Jim Courier coined it the new two, so it went from the big three to the new two, and that window closed for a lot of those guys, like, in my opinion, like Taylor Fritz and Zverev and all these guys.
Medvedev
had a chance to win, you know, between the eras, and those two at ages 21, 22, mm-hmm. now 22, 23, they've eliminated that. It's going to be really hard for anybody to win a Grand Slam, in my opinion, in the next few years with those two guys.
I wish we had more time, because I would love to ask you about Djokovic and the fact he's probably the third or fourth best player, but now you just said it, that when he'd have to beat both to win another Grand Slam. So how does he go about moving forward, knowing he can still play at an incredibly high level, but he can't get there?
Because he's going to run into him in the quarters or the 16s. He's never going to get to the point where he can, because those guys are on opposite ends of the bracket all the time.
Yep.
And they're never going to be able to get through those. And that goes for everybody. Mm-hmm. The only guy, so I will say, like, the one guy that I've gotten to know, and I got to know his father really well, and I really like the family, is the Shelton family. Brian's a coach. Ben is obviously the great talent. Ben's got a chance, because he's only adding to his game, and he's left-handed, and he's got a violent serve. So he's kind of that guy that could have a chance to pop one here or there, I would say.
Let's go. Let's go.
There's this other kid named João Fonseca. That's another kid to keep an eye on. He's still a teenager, bud.
This is great.
Do you want to keep talking tennis? I feel like he's on over a minute.
Let me tell you something. We're way over a minute.
That is so awesome.
I love it. It is from a watch standpoint. I legit, after the retirement of Rafa and Fed, thought I'd be blah. But these cats, man, the matches they've put together, dynamite. All right.
You waited 3 months, and we're not even going to talk Brewers.
All right, B.A., so the vibe I'm getting, Jason is super nervous.
I am.
The Brewers just put together the greatest regular season. They're the one seed. They had the best record in baseball, and he is filling his britches, because it could be the Cubs coming in, and just the thought that something bad could happen is overwhelmed. And I think he's like a lot of Brewer fans, not all. Can you help talk him off that ledge?
I mean, that's the symbol of the epitome of the difference between pro mentality and Joe mentality.
Oh, hey, Joe Wilde.
Pros versus Joes.
Joe Wilde.
That's Joe mentality right there. Joe mentality is not wanting to take on those at the mountaintop. And I'm relishing a Cubs-Brewers matchup. I think that would be incredible for baseball, certainly incredible for TBS, my people. So I'm all in for that. We'll see what happens today between Cubs-Padres. I think both the Brewers are going to be underdogs no matter who they play for the rest of the postseason. It doesn't matter, even though they have the best record. And I hope the Brewers are hearing all this. I know they are. But basically the phrase is, this is the worst team to have the best record in baseball history. And I love that, because that's how the Brewers are functioning. The game's way easier to play when you're an underdog, way easier. And I've seen it a million times, especially at Wrigley, especially in Philadelphia. When the home team is not having great success, the fans turn on them fast. And that's not going to happen here in Milwaukee. Like, you know, they're not going to hear boos like that. But I saw it with the Diamondbacks and the Phillies in the NLCS a couple of years ago. You know, Philadelphia basically had that series won. And then they struggled in Arizona, and then they came back, and they struggled early in Game 6. And next thing you know, Phillies fans are all over their own players, and they're booing their own players. And next thing you know, the Diamondbacks went to the World Series, which was the shock of my baseball postseason broadcasting career. So I would just say, like, it doesn't really matter until the games happen. I don't know what the Brewers are going to be like. There's too many players that have not done this. They've not been in the fire in the playoffs, which is very intense. And on the flip side of that, that's actually maybe a good thing because they may not know any different. They're going to feel it. You know, I'm just sitting here in the parking lot, like I mentioned today. They're going to feel it when they show up today. And they're not going to be able to park where they normally park. They're going to see all this activity going on with, you know, not just one production truck for television. There's four out there. And instead of eight cameras, there's 25 cameras. And there's just going to be a lot of media, and you can't make it normal. As hard as you want to try to make it normal and make it feel like a regular season occurrence, it's just not. There's media, there's press conferences. Everybody's going to be subject to people standing around them all the time. So those are the things that I would say, like, are most concerning for me with the Brewers, just because they haven't really dealt with that very often. They had home games last year. But now they're going to have road games guaranteed. And obviously, if they go down to Wrigley, the intensity of all of it. So I think it's all worth talking about. And, you know, you're going to get a lot of opinions on how it's going to go. Nobody knows how it's going to go because we just one break can change everything. And so I think there's reason to be optimistic because this team plays a certain style of baseball that is conducive to the playoffs. I call it the humble approach, where it's one guy just kind of turning the lineup over to the next guy. So I think the Brewers are more than equipped to make a run, and with their bullpen situation, they are they're as good as any bullpen out there, and that's really what it boils down to.
Talking with Brian Anderson, who I love, even though he just pointed out my terrible average Joe mentality. here's why I have this mentality. A, it's the Cubs, who it just feels like they are the Lex Luthor, and with Jesse Nelson, who you may have heard was at one point in the spring questioning the veracity of the manager's employment situation.
Why does it have to come up every time we do this with
anybody? Because it happened. Secondly, his hatred of an iconic guy who chose a different job in Craig Counsell. I always worry about that creating bad juju. But that's not even it, Brian. It's that not that long ago, I was looking not only at the best bullpen in baseball, but a starting rotation that had Freddie Peralta, Quinn Priester, who they never lose when he pitches, a finally healthy again Woody, and this young kid that ended up in the All-Star game because he was so blank and dominant in the Miz. And now I hear your buddy Jeff Levering on one of our other shows say, well, they're going to go with Freddie and then Priester, and then they got to figure out what they're going to do in game three, and then they're going to go back to Freddie. Like, I was really excited about how deep the pitching was, and now that's what's making me nervous. Is that wrong of me?
Yeah, you're so wrong about all of that, because first of all, Woodruff is aside. That's a different story, you know, and we don't know what his health status is going to be. And you know, he's been great, but also he's coming back from major shoulder surgery. So mm-hmm. I don't think anybody in the camp, the goal was to get as much out of Woodruff as you could get. The goal for Woodruff is to get as much out of his pitching as he could get. He's a free agent. You know, I'm not saying he wasn't in the plans, but also everybody understood from start one to start 12 that it was a total liability whether he was going to be able to get to the finish line or not. It's just rare coming back from shoulder surgery that, you know, nobody in their right mind is going to expect Brandon Woodruff to go be 2018 Brandon Woodruff. So that I think that was a box that was already checked, maybe not by the fans, but by the club. The Mizorowski picture is he is a rookie. He's taken on a little water right now. It's a lot of mental and physical fatigue. He's at an innings level that he's never been. So even more so than Woodruff, this has always been part of the internal discussion of, you know, what you do with the Miz. And he did get off to this great start, and then the league figures it out. You know, they're trying too. They're pros too. And now all of a sudden, you know, he's getting hit a little bit, and he's going to have to make that next wave of an adjustment. He can elevate out of the bullpen, which is scary because he already elevates pretty high as it is. So now the question is, he really hasn't done that. He just did it the one time down the stretch. So I don't think any of that was ever going to be, let's roll Jacob Mizorowski out there for seven innings in a playoff game. That never even crossed anybody's mind. Now it's more like, do you use him as an opener? Do you use him in the middle of the game? Maybe when you're down, they call it a down game when you're losing. You're trying to find him a soft runway in a postseason, which he's never experienced. So I would say from a fan perspective, you get excited about a guy who made the All-Star team and he's going to be amazing, and he is. But that's probably down the line, and you'll get what you get out of him now. Internally, this has never been this is no surprise, and it's never been a real part of the scheme on what they're going to do. The biggest decision I'll have to make is who pitches game three, and that's going to be determined by who the opponent is. And it really boils down to the handedness of the opponent, because the Padres are heavy left-handed. The Cubs aren't. And so that's really what that boils down to. So I don't think that's anything new for this organization from August. So what you're going through right now is probably maybe false expectations of what could happen. So I think they're prepared for that in a pretty significant way. That's why you saw more of Chad Patrick at the end. That's why you saw Robert Gasser at the end. You know, all the things that, if you had watched the games on television, Jason, we were explaining this to you very,
yeah, Jason, Joe,
very peacefully and like in a very detailed manner, Joe.
Let's get back to tennis. So this has been great.
Joe Fonseca.
we love having you, and I am smart. The most important thing here is that I am smarter now because of you. So I appreciate that. Now, I'm gonna
do some emotional. I don't want you to lose your emotion though. So when you think back to Brewers postseason past, do you think about 1982, or do you think about the Brewers going into Game 163 and beating the Cubs at Wrigley? Like what's on that scale, or Nigel Morgan driving in a Carlos Gomez to win an NLDS game? Like, is that popping up the little things on your shoulder, angels, demons, whatever that is?
I'm guessing Joey is thinking of the air out by Grisham in the outfield and the home run by Puig. And that, am I right, yeah. Joey?
Raleigh Fingers getting hurt.
Yep. Pete Ladd. Yep. So, Joey, am I right or not?
So, I'm thinking of Gorman Thomas striking out.
Yes.
In game seven, St. Louis.
Joey Half Cup.
All right. you have other stuff to do, and I've embarrassed myself sufficiently today. So I want to get to this. And you know, my friend John Kerry and I are a lot alike. When we get to be friends with amazing people, you know, whether it's Matt LePay in that space of play-by-play, or you in your space, we're going to call it like we see it, and we are so lucky to have both of you as friends of ours because you both are so magnificent at your jobs, and you also don't really enjoy people doing what I'm doing now by talking how star-spangled awesome you are. But I'm going to do it anyway for this one reason. One of the things that I found myself doing, I do not like to watch a lot of regular season NBA basketball, but I still am a channel surfer with cable. And so when I am writing, I am surfing through channels, usually stopping on a Law & Order rerun. But if I get to a game that Brian Anderson is doing, I don't care who the two NBA teams are, I leave it on. Okay? I'm not going to be able to do that anymore. Mm-mm. What has the transition been like for you? And what, like, it's not like you're not busy. I get it. But how are you kind of figuring out exactly what your super busy schedule, but with a very major change to it, is going to be like moving forward? Because you are as good as it gets at this job. Well, and thanks, I'm not just saying that because you're on our show.
That's very kind. I really appreciate that. It means a lot coming from you. So on a personal level, you know, I've been working in the NBA mostly since 1992 in some capacity, whether it's behind the scenes or as a sideline reporter with the Spurs or play-by-play with TNT. So there is a piece of me that is like, you know, that's a little sad. On the other hand, you know, I've been married 32 years, so I haven't dated, but it's very similar to if she doesn't want to go on a date with you, then I'm going to focus on the one that does. And that's kind of where I'm at, because TNT, we made a big offer, massive bid, equaled the other bids. They didn't want to be on a date with us. And I decided to stay at TNT because I love TNT. And then I knew we were going to be picking up other things like Roland Garros, which I love, and obviously baseball, which we will continue. And then we added two major packages of college basketball. So we got the Big East and we got the Big 12 starting in January. And I'm going to be on the Big East and the Big 12. And I'm doing this massive tournament in Vegas called the Players Era Tournament, which is 18 teams over Thanksgiving. We've got opening night in college basketball. So I'm ecstatic to get back to college basketball. And I'll be plenty available for your channel surfing on college basketball on TNT. We're doing a ton of games, heavy volume of regular season college basketball games, which I haven't done in probably 6 years, maybe pre-pandemic, the last time I worked for Fox doing the Big East. We still have March Madness. You know, March Madness is a big part of my schedule and my life and my passion. And now we get to do regular season games that leads up to March Madness. So I'm pumped. I mean, I can't wait to start this next chapter with TNT. And I'll miss the NBA. I'll watch. All my friends are going to be doing NBA games on TNT. But, you know, it's an easy thing to move on from for me because we got another date. So we keep moving.
And maybe you'll see your wife of 32 years at least a little more often than you have at times.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, generally speaking, we do television in a kind of a specific way, and we're going to take all those sensibilities. So nothing changes for me. It's the same NBA crew, same guys that are doing the MLB postseason that I'll be working with on Saturday in Philadelphia. They're all my friends, the people I work with for 18 years now with Turner Sports or TNT Sports. So that's really what matters. The gigs are the gigs, and like the things you cover, that's one thing, but it's the relationships internally that matter most, and I'm not losing that. So therefore, I'm not losing a huge chunk of that side of it. I'm not going to work with Stan Van Gundy anymore, which that makes me a little sad, but, you know, Reggie Miller, I'm not working with him anymore, but I'm working with Grant Hill, and I'm working with all the guys I always work with. So all good. It's going to be great.
Well, I'm glad you'll have more time to talk to us. I look forward to the next time you're on.
Yeah, anytime.
Except when Micah Parsons gets traded.
Yeah, next trade. Line me up for the next big Packers trade, and I'll be ready.
Brian, we appreciate you. Thanks so much.
All right, great to be with you guys. Talk soon.
That is Brian Anderson. He will be on the call of the Phillies,
Dodgers,
and Dodgers on
Shohei
TBS.
Starting game one. Electric. That'll be an electric joint.
And he'll have the NLCS.
Yeah. Where it sounds like the Brewers are underdogs. Brewers are going to be underdogs the whole way.
For Cubs,
plucky little group. Was that awkward at all? Anybody else think that was awkward when you're asking him about his dating his wife? And
like, I didn't say that he said date.
No, but then you followed up, and there was like a. Was I crazy? There was like a super long pause.
There was a pause.
There was a pause.
No, it wasn't just like a pause. It was a pause on a pause on a pause. It was a triple pause.
It was a pregnant pause.
No.
Like a triple 17.
It felt like 9 months.
Yeah. It was a triple pause, and I literally am thinking, where is this going? And
that was fun.
I just
thought maybe with his schedule, he would have a little more time to,
I get it, but it was a long double triple pause.
Yeah, maybe there's, more Will the Town straight ahead. Stick around.
It's bottle popping time, Brewers fans.
97 wins for your Milwaukee Brewers, a new franchise record.
You're listening to Madison's home for the NL Central champion Milwaukee Brewers, 100.5 ESPN.
The Brewers are going to be underdogs no matter who they play for the rest of the postseason. It doesn't matter. Even though they have the best record. And I hope the Brewers are hearing all this. I know they are. But basically the phrase is, this is the worst team to have the best record in baseball history. And I love that.
That is Brian Anderson, who will not be doing the Brewers versus Cubs/Padres series.
Oh, yeah. You don't have the best announcer do the worst team in the history of a one seed.
Like, so what do you make of that?
Bothers me.
The worst one seed in the history of one seeds.
That's what he just said.
I don't know. I obviously don't cover them on a day-to-day basis, but obviously Brian is around not only them, but more importantly, with all his other responsibilities, he's around the guys that are around them every day, and he clearly believes that that's a good thing for the Brewers. Do you?
It's always good to have. We talked embers already this week, didn't we? Didn't we get into embers?
Yeah,
and to get the embers burning, and
you made them like into little cartoon characters and everything. Like you personalized
them. It is always good to have highly motivated athletes wanting to tell a bunch of people to blank off. I think that is a great place to be, but I can't get on board with that. I know Homer was getting after it yesterday about it. We are the best team in baseball. That's what. Why else did we play? Now, does that mean we're playing the best right now? No. But 162 games, pretty good sample size. Plug that in the old computer, and you're going to get some analytics or say, they had the best record. They were. And, yes, Miz is rattled a little bit. And, yeah, Woody might not be able to throw. He might be dinged up. All those things can be true. I don't hear anybody saying Philly can't win, and they lost their ace. I don't. Have you heard that?
I'm also not listening to Philly sports talk.
Just watch something, and it's there. What is his name? Castellanos or something like that, Jesse? Who's the Phillies ace that got hurt? What?
I didn't expect
you do this. This is what you do for a living.
I do not remember the name of the Phillies ace.
You're the baseball guy.
Why is it not okay for him not to know the name of the guy that you're bringing up?
I think I'm right. I just wanted verification. Jesse's our baseball guy. He loves baseball. He's calling for Murph's job. He's a baseball guy. I'm a football guy. If you ask me who the coach of the Eagles would be, I hope I know. You know what I mean? Castellanos, I think his name is.
It's not Castellanos. Suarez?
Oh, Zach Wheeler?
Yeah, maybe it's Wheeler.
Wheeler and Suarez are the two that are banged up.
Castellanos, very close to Wheeler.
I ain't a baseball guy. But what I do know is...
He's got a blood clot near his shoulder.
That ain't good. The Brewers, I understand
Castellanos.
Why... Castellanos? Somebody's named Castellanos. What I don't understand is I think we're all doing this because, A, we want to be underdogs because we're the plucky little squad with the low payroll, and I understand all that. But there does come a time where you're like, hey, we're right with the big boys. Hey, just because we're more efficient and we do things in a smarter way economically, that's going to – now, Shohei, we don't have anybody that can do what Shohei does. We probably don't have anybody that can do what Schwarber does. But as a collective, we were better than those teams this year, head-to-head, and as the entire 162 games played out. And maybe BA is right. Maybe Vegas has it that way, too. Maybe we are the worst team in the playoffs, the worst one seed in the history of baseball. And if that's the case, it just makes me – it reminds me of when I think his name was Craig James said that about our 1999 Rose Bowl team. It's the worst Rose Bowl team ever.
Mm-hmm.
Until we won the game and weren't even the worst team on the field that day. That's what I hope happens. And that's – you ask if it's a good thing? It is a good thing. Is it accurate? I disagree, but I might be in the minority. And if it helps this team win, I'm all in for it.
Couple things. One, Nick Castellanos is a right fielder, former Cub. He's for the Phillies.
That's the deep fly ball by Castellanos.
And he's healthy?
I don't know if, yes, he's
okay,
good to
so
go.
So it's Wheeler. It's Zach Wheeler.
Zach Wheeler is the guy you were thinking
of. And he was
of.
The ace.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Barry Alvarez famously used Craig James, who was a CBS college football analyst at the time, saying Wisconsin is the worst team ever to play in the Rose Bowl.
Oh, we heard that a bunch. And I'm going to promise. I'm going to promise you this: we love that he said it, but we never once thought it. We didn't believe it. And as long as Pat Murphy and his crew, and there's not a doubt in my mind, they do not feel the way BA just said it, but they love the fact that the outside noise is saying that, because there ain't no rat poison there. That ain't rat. That's the opposite of rat poison.
So Barry
Alvarez.
What's
the opposite of rat poison?
M&M's?
Something healthy for you.
Okay. Yeah. You're fueling them with kale.
From this story on UWBadgers.com, you played for Barry Alvarez.
That's what I heard.
Was go boo in a bar.
Go boo in a bar.
Thank you. He loved this kind of stuff.
Let me tell you something. All coaches do.
Yeah, but he, like, apparently, from this story that I'm reading, William Shatner, you familiar with his work?
I know, William.
Captain,
yes.
Kirk?
Yes.
Apparently, he said during the Tournament of Roses parade that he was rooting for the Bruins. And that ticked off Barry. How dare Captain Kirk say he's going to root for the Bruins? So he used that as a motivation.
I think we had Fonz on our side. I believe Fonz came in and was pro-Wisconsin.
Adding to the list for Monday's Barry Alvarez show, beef with William Shatner.
Oh, you're actually going to be there for the show. Well, that's good.
This week, yeah.
Apparently the...
Jason, I've told you this 1,000 times, and when you look at Michael Jordan finding a way to get irritated with Scotty Burrell, and Tom Brady finding a way to get irritated with a backup safety, and like the list goes on and on. Like, that's what you always, when you have somebody that is great or someone that's trying to do great things, the last thing you want to do is have any complacency and nerviness. You want that. For as much as it sucks to hear, you know, people criticizing and everything else, you the great ones thrive on it. They motivate themselves with it. And if that is the case with this Milwaukee Brewers team, awesome.
Right.
I don't know how you can look at it and say, this wasn't some fluky, Penn State played a soft schedule and they didn't play anybody and they're the number one. You played the schedule. The schedule's been played.
It's not an indictment of what I think of them as a team. And Brian Anderson did a great job of explaining.
How is it not an indictment of the team? You literally said they're the worst one.
The Cubs won. No, I didn't say that.
No, I'm.
The pundits are saying
it
that.
Just was said.
Right. I'm saying from my perspective.
What are you
my
saying?
My concern about the Cubs.
I always hear what you're not saying. What are you saying?
They did lose the season series with the Cubs.
Did they to the Phillies? Did they to the Padres? And did they to the Dodgers?
No, but if they got to beat. If
they
the
did
Cubs
to the Padres.
Win today.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
Don't interject until.
It's all because of Castellanos. Steinhoffel is celebrating.
At least I knew a guy's name on the team. Is that fair?
Are you really
No, but you, let me tell you, I wasn't getting a ton of lifelines from YouTube.
It's also pronounced Castellanos. Castellanos is the quarterback for Florida State.
Llanos.
Steinhoffels is celebrating 91 years of bringing style, comfort, and quality to families' homes. As a 100% employee-owned company, you'll always get honest service, never high-pressure sales. And if you need better sleep, try Steinhoffel's Discover Your Sleep System. Want to refresh a room? Their decorating solutions team makes it simple. From the latest furniture and mattress trends to trusted quality, Steinhoffel's has everything you need. Celebrate 91 years of Steinhoffel's in store or online at steinhoffels.com.
Hey, J-Dub. Is that a third of BA's marriage? The 91, because BA and his wife in 32, right? Is that a third? My math has been off today with my dart throwing, medieval times. 91 and 32, right?
Almost triple.
Almost a triple, which we found out was called a pro in the dart world. Right?
What an hour.
What a world.
Well, the Intouch 10 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.